What this will lead to is customized medicine that really is geared for a given individual. You will get studies based on your genetic makeup, and those studies will then govern the therapies you will get, and the therapies will also be based on your genetic makeup, as opposed to one imaging study or one diagnostic study fits all, and as opposed to one therapy fits all. We will have shifted towards imaging, diagnostics, and therapy just for you.
My name is Tom Minow, and I'm Chief Executive Officer of Lumera Corporation. I'm happy to bring you the 2007 Lumera Podcasting Series. This series of podcasts addresses a wide range of exciting developments in the field of nanotechnology, photonics, and groundbreaking effects they may have on the multi-billion dollar telecommunications, semiconductor, and bioscience industries. In this podcast, we are pleased to have Sam Gambier, who will speak on his work in molecular imaging. Dr. Gambier, preeminent researcher and professor at Stanford University, joined the Lumera Board of Directors in February 2006. His primary research focus is on molecular imaging, and last year he was featured in a book by Andy Kessler entitled The End of Medicine, which talked about all the revolutionary developments going on in medicine. Thank you for participating in our podcast series, and now I'll turn it over to Todd.
This is Todd Wolfenbarger with the Lumera 2007 podcasting series, and today on our podcast we have Dr. Sam Gambier from Stanford University. Dr. Gambier, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You have so much that we want to ask you about. Your career and your research has been not only interesting from it being in the core of many of the hottest topics in the field, but also because, you know, New York Times bestselling authors have also been very interested in your work. Tell us a little bit about how your expertise in radiology and bioengineering have come together and why these fields are all of a sudden becoming such high-profile fields for the way medicine operates.
We have been operating in this field known as molecular imaging for several decades now, trying to convince the scientific community as well as the lay public that the future for imaging lies in the ability to detect what's going on at the cellular and molecular level. When you break your hand and you walk into an emergency room and you get an x-ray of your hand, that picture is really telling you about the anatomy of the bones. But it's not telling you what's going on with the cells within your bones, the molecules within your bones. So we've been developing for several decades tools that will let us image at the molecular level. And just as medicine is moving towards molecular-based diagnostics, molecular-based therapies, imaging is shifting away from just conventional anatomical imaging to more molecular imaging. We think that's the future for how medicine and imaging will evolve.
You read your bio and, you know, literally just in the last 2 years, you have been recognized numerous times by national and international institutes for the work you're doing in molecular imaging. Would you say, having been involved with it now for a couple of decades, is it moving as fast as you thought it would or as you hoped it would? Faster, slower?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. It's certainly accelerating now as more and more people are coming into the field. Like everything else, early on, it's harder to convince everyone about the utility of things. And then as you get success stories, including things that migrate into actual patient care and impact patients on a daily basis, with real concrete examples, people start to understand the power of the technologies. So because of that, things are now actually accelerating. Regulatory issues for us are improving so that the FDA, Center for Medicare Services, are making it easier for us to get these kind of tools into the hands of patients where it really matters.
You know, Andy Kessler wrote a book a couple years back, I guess, called The End of Medicine. That's a really, really interesting book to read if you're just a layperson trying to understand how medicine and the role medicine may play in your life going forward. You were referenced many times in that book as you talked about personalized imaging in the future. How do you think, if you could kind of play that forward, how do you think that will change the way people are treated and how medicine impacts human beings?
So I think the main issue that we're seeing is that there's too much that is spent on late-stage disease. We spend at least 90% of our healthcare dollars on diseases that are caught late in the game, therapies that are relatively not tailored to a given individual, strategies for imaging that are not tailored to a given individual. So what we are thinking is going to happen and would like to see happen is that there will be an end of medicine in the way we think about medicine currently, with a shift towards earlier and earlier diagnostics. We all know that when you intercept almost any disease process, whether it be cancer, heart disease, if you can catch it earlier, then you have that much better chance for any therapy to work to, in fact, cure you of that disease. What is meant in many ways by the end of medicine is that things will shift towards earlier detection. This will be blood-based testing, where in your blood we will know telltale signs of disease, as well as imaging strategies that are tailored to your genetic makeup so that we can detect and monitor disease in you much earlier than it would have otherwise been caught. And we think that will totally change the paradigm then and markedly improve patient outcomes because we won't catch disease as late as we do now.
Wow. I mean, talk about an exciting way to come to work every day.
Right.
You're associated with a university that, among many, many things that Stanford is respected for, one of the things that people oftentimes associate the university for is its association with Silicon Valley and the development of the microprocessing and all the other industries that came out of that in the area. From articles that I read, it's interesting to hear that Silicon Valley has not always necessarily been in the core of setting its sights on medicine. Some people think that's changing now, and that Silicon and the role of the cultural fabric of the valley is going to play a role in bringing about that end or change in medicine that you talked about. I know you're working on silicon chips that help hold antibodies. Is the medical arena the next to maybe have the great, you know, kind of this renovation because of the efforts of Silicon Valley?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a strong possibility. There's a hub of expertise in Silicon Valley that is ideally suited for shifting away from standard IT technology and computer hardware technology into biology. And we're seeing more and more players that are interested in building these next generation of chips, but now the chips, instead of performing computing tasks, are performing biological tasks, like detecting whether you have telltale signs of a disease from a drop of blood. So I think this area in particular is poised to, in fact, succeed because of the surrounding community. But we're not unique in that. Seattle is another great hub for that. San Diego is a great hub for that. Boston. So there are several sites because of the surrounding community that will likely be able to go forward and succeed because of expertise in chip design in the traditional sense, shifting to now biological chips.
How come it took as long as it took for people to become interested in using the technology for solving these kinds of problems?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think, you know, like everything else, things in biology and medicine certainly are based on us getting to a certain level of information that we didn't have. For example, it's only really in the last decade, and even some would argue in the last just few years, we've started to figure out the inside machinery of a cell. If you open up your high school biology textbook, you'll see a lot about the anatomy of a cell. You'll see things like what a nucleus is,
right,
what the cytoplasm is, all those kind of things. But you didn't really learn how do things inside the cell talk to one another. What are the connections inside a cell? Well, now we understand those connections, much like a motherboard in a computer, are connections that let different proteins within the cell talk to other proteins, relaying signals back and forth inside the cell. So that knowledge wasn't there till recently. And now that we've got much, not all, but much of the biological knowledge, and we're starting to understand that biology is a very systems type of concept. It's not about one part or another part acting alone. It's how the parts come together. And as we understand that, we're able to now take advantage of our understanding and look for ways, for example, to detect disease.
As we've talked to others about Lumera, one of the things they've said is the technology is allowing them to have access to far greater depths and levels of information that help them solve those interactions. How did you get involved with the company, and why did you get involved?
Yeah, so you might, as we've talked, say, well, you know, Sam does more molecular imaging, and what does all this have to do with what Lumera does? Well, a few years ago, there started to be another collision in fields that's still growing, and that is this collision between imaging and what I would call ex vivo diagnostics or blood diagnostics. Both are designed towards detecting disease earlier, understanding what's going on at the molecular level. So we started to argue that we really need to bring people together from both the fields, people who specialize in trying to understand what information content there is in blood, urine, etc., with people that know how to image the entire body at the molecular level. And then when I was approached by an individual who had talked about Lamera, and I saw the exciting potential Lamera's technology had in highly multiplexing the information that it could, in fact, analyze, I was very excited by how it could help our fields and the collision of fields in vitro diagnostics and in vivo molecular imaging. Because the point here is that when you have a technology that can look at hundreds, thousands of things simultaneously, like a chip that can analyze a blood sample, but not just look for one protein in the blood, but for look for thousands of proteins in the blood. Now you have the ability to solve much more complex problems than you would if you didn't have such technology. So that got me very excited in Lamera, and then I was honored to be able to serve on their board in order to help advance these kinds of technological innovations.
Of all the things that you go up against every day, what's the biggest obstacle you're running into in turning this world into this new way of diagnosing illnesses? What is the obstacle that you worry about the most?
For us, the obstacle is really about the issues of disseminating these technologies so that it can actually impact daily patient care. I also see patients as head of nuclear medicine here at Stanford and look at their results for cancer imaging, brain imaging, heart imaging. And the frustrating thing to me is that these technologies that Lamera is developing, others are developing, are very powerful and I think will be early on adapted by pharma biotech. But to get them to the patient's bedside is a much more difficult task because of the regulatory issues, and regulatory issues at the FDA level, as well as for reimbursement of diagnostic technologies. So I think those are my biggest frustrations, is how do we accelerate the regulatory processes so we can bring these things to real daily patient care.
Well, if I could take a time machine and accelerate it for you and just move it forward 10 years, how's the world look different to us?
Okay, well, I think in a decade, it's always difficult to predict, but in this case, at least we have a vision of what we'd like to see the world be at. First of all, as far as medical management, we will be at a stage where when you're born, we will have a full analysis of your genome. We will, based on that analysis, have a reasonably good idea of what diseases you will be susceptible to. Not all diseases, but we will know what things you'll be at risk for. Based on that, you will be screened for those diseases going forward for the rest of your life using the kinds of technology that Lamera is developing with analysis of your blood once a year, using molecular imaging technologies. When those blood tests indicate there may be a problem, then we survey your whole body and image it at the molecular level. What this will lead to is customized imaging, customized medicine that really is geared for a given individual. You will get studies based on your genetic makeup, and those studies will then govern the therapies you will get, and the therapies will also be based on your genetic makeup, as opposed to one imaging study or one diagnostic study fits all, or and as opposed to one therapy fits all. We will have shifted towards imaging, diagnostics, and therapy just for you.
If people wanted to learn more about you that are listening to this podcast and the work you're doing, where would they go?
For this kind of stuff, one good way is, as you mentioned, this book, which Andy Kessler wrote, The End of Medicine. Andy actually came and spent a few weeks here in the lab and was amazed by what he was seeing, so he decided to write this book. So that's a good start, is this End of Medicine book. And then people are welcome to look through our websites and learn more, and those are at MIPS.stanford.edu, and MIPS stands for Molecular Imaging Program at Stanford, so MIPS.stanford.edu.
We appreciate you taking time to share your expertise on the podcast, and good luck in all that you're doing.
Great, thank you.